This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live.
And we're launching into the second hour of the program. Of course, you're invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We also have Skype. You can Skype into the show at username lrn.fm. Coming up, sororities and hazing. They're in the news again, and we'll tell you about what happened, what the hazing rituals were, and maybe you've been involved in sororities and fraternity hazing, and you want to share your experience with us, 855-450-FREE. We'll get into that when we get the chance, but we're continuing with your calls and thoughts here. With you in the studio tonight, it is Ian,
Cody,
and Johnson.
Let's go to Carl in Alabama. Carl, you're on Free Talk Live. Oh. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Welcome. Doing great. Go ahead with your thoughts.
All right. Well, I just wanted to call in. I've heard you guys talking about freedom for the past few years, but I've never really heard you guys talk about Linux and the free software movement.
Oh, okay.
And I just wondered if any of you all actually use Linux or have any experience with it, and what your thoughts are on the free software movement.
I have a netbook that runs Mint.
Linux Mint.
Rarely ever use.
We have talked about this over the years on a number of occasions. We've certainly talked about open source software a lot, especially in conversations about Bitcoin, for instance. So we definitely are familiar with the movement. We've had the age-old debates on Linux versus Windows versus Macintosh. Those things have gone on Free Talk Live. Of course, we've been on the air for 14 years, so it's probably unlikely you've heard all of those episodes. But in short, there is a computer in this studio that is running Linux right now. The majority of the computers are not running Linux, however. They are Windows-based machines. I prefer Windows simply because that's where most of the software is that I'm familiar with. It's where a lot of industry software exists that isn't really duplicated on the Linux side. Of course, for gaming, Windows is where it's at. Windows has even been beating Mac for gaming for many, many years, and I think they still do on that front. So
and Linux even beats Mac now for gaming.
I've heard that too.
I'm not against it, though.
I mean, look, as far as security is concerned, everybody knows, at least everybody in computing should know, Linux is the most secure environment for your operating system to be used. So, I mean, there for the security-minded, for the open-source, open-software-minded, obviously Linux is the way to go. But for someone like me who learned computers on DOS and Windows, to me, it's never really been worth the effort that it would take to learn Linux. And there have been times when I've tried. So just to give you a little, and I want you to respond here, just kind of giving you my experience with Linux over the years. I remember trying as early as like the year 2000. I put a Linux machine together. I forget what it was back then. I forget which distribution, because for people who are unfamiliar, there are a bunch of different forks. There's these different versions of Linux that are out there, and they're called different things. And
I think it's Ubuntu. That's the most popular.
That's very popular. Yeah, that's the most popular. It's got a graphical user interface. It's pretty, it's pretty nice looking. And, back then, it was a struggle, and I had internet access, so I could look for solutions, but man, I struggled with the most basic things of, like, how do I change screen resolutions? I was able to install Linux back then, but just doing the most basic functions that on Windows was, right-click, go to properties, no problem. Linux, it was like, you got to install this, use these command lines, so on and so forth, and it's gotten better over the years. But it's still, in my opinion, it's not ready for mass market. It's still something that only the geek universe could really have an appreciation for, because there's a huge learning curve. And a lot of the times, I've tried it again within recent years, and what I found was that even when I would try to go through tutorials online, that the people who write the tutorials presume that the people reading them already know some of the steps, or they'll just leave a critical step out. And, you know, maybe that was just an accident on their part, or maybe they just presumed you would have known what to have done. But I find a lot of the actual help out there to be very, very daunting. And that's speaking as someone who is pretty knowledgeable on computers,
right,
and someone who can build a computer from, you know, from parts, that kind of thing. So I've never really been like, yeah, I'm into this. This is cool, and I want to learn more. It's always been like, ah, this is a huge hassle.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a gaming machine. I just recently completely rebuilt the water cooling loop in my gaming machine. So I actually have some computer hardware cred over anybody else here.
Hey, I've done water cooling.
Have you redone the whole loop?
I did water cooling once, and then it ultimately, after using it for a long time.
Okay, but you built the machine from scratch. You built the whole loop.
Yeah, with water cooling.
Okay. So, okay, cool. So you and I have then more cred than anybody else for that kind of hardware stuff. And, you know, I built the loop, and I soaked my machine, you know, the first, cause when I did it, but I had everything, all squared away, so it didn't matter. Like, the machine, you know, I let it dry out, redid it. I had, basically, I had some bad, connectors weren't properly, not a grommet, but.
Well, and you've been a graphics pro for a long time, too.
Yeah,
so, like, you've got a lot of experience using computers, and I know that the Linux community will say, well, there's GIMP.
Right. No, it's horrible.
Yeah.
That's my main thesis, is I think that if Adobe were to natively release products for Linux, their line of products, their Creative Suite.
Like Photoshop.
Or Creative Cloud, as they call it now. If they were to release that for Linux, I think that it would drastically... They don't think so. Adobe says there's no market for this. That's why they won't do it. They're like...
Really?
Yeah, they think that, like, Linux is all free software. People, you know...
So it's not that they're going to pay off from Microsoft or something?
No, it's just that they think that people are less likely to pay for the software, more likely to pirate it, and that... that the market share of Linux, and this is true, is just not large enough to justify the work that it would take to natively port these.
It's definitely not large enough on the individual kind of computer, but it's huge in business, right?
Right.
Like, Linux is the server business.
And I think that what it would do is it would change the individual market. I mean, I would switch to Linux
if they had
very quickly, you know, if I could do graphics stuff. Because the games that I want to run, most of them will run on Linux.
Okay.
If I wanted to do that. So I think that I probably would make a switch, or at least I would have one machine that would run that, you know, like... And, you know, I think that it's... I would love to see that happen. I mean,
so, Carl, that's a lot from the two geeks on the show. What do you think? Go ahead.
Okay, well, now, first of all, I would like to say that, you know, as far as switching to Linux, you know, the way I switched was I started with a live CD, and I used Puppy Linux a lot, and then...
A live CD, for listeners that... Hold on. For listeners that don't know, a live CD is a copy of Linux that you can literally put on a USB drive or a CD-ROM and load it into any computer and have Linux load instead of Windows or instead of whatever else might be on there. That's what a live CD is. So you're using that to kind of experiment with it, is what you're saying.
Well, to get familiar with it, but one day I just eventually got sick and tired of all the... hassle that I had to go through with Windows as far as dealing with viruses and defragging my computer and how slow it was. But I just put Linux on my computer one day, and I never switched back.
Right.
But now I will say that, you know, you're right and wrong about the challenges, technical issues. In the past, it has been more challenging to, do simple things like change your resolution. But the version of Linux called Linux Mint has actually made a lot of that very simple. Most of it's graphical user interface tools that you can use to do things like that. So
I agree.
You know,
for the basic user who wants to just surf the web or do some word processing, I think the GUI versions of Linux are there. Like, you can install Ubuntu or Mint, and you can connect to a Wi-Fi point pretty easily, and you can, you know, it's got a Firefox built into it, so you don't even have to download a browser. Downloading LibreOffice or, you know, whatever you call that, the free document editor thing.
LibreOffice, KingSoft, I mean, they have a lot of different stuff.
Right, so I mean, if you use the basic kind of software, that's easy to do. But as soon as you break out into, you know, more unusual stuff like installing a Bitcoin client or, you know, something else that's not a typical user situation, it gets more complicated.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. If you're getting more specialized, you know, if that stuff's not mainstream, then sometimes it can get, you know, you need to be an advanced user to try to do some of those things. But now Linux did give us Turrets, which a lot of people don't realize is
that
Turretting came from
Tourette's.
Turretting.
Oh, like, Tourette's.
You know, the government's kind of shut down a lot of Tourette's sites now, just because it's, you know, a lot of the stuff is deemed illegal. But,
Carl, hold that thought. I want you to I want to come back with your pitch here for Linux in a moment. Because like I said, I think for the basic user, it's usable these days.
The following is an incredible, life-changing free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing everything more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-719-2949. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear everything more clearly again for free, with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and even free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-719-2949. That's 1-800-719-2949. 1-800-719-2949.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, and we're here to take your calls about what you want. And you can take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, we're big fans of freedom here on Free Talk Live. And freedom means more than just freedom from the government. It means freedom from, you know, ridiculous nonsense contracts that you don't need to get involved in, like these stupid licensing agreements that a lot of these software companies have. I mean, come on, who's ever read one of those things?
Never. Who has the time?
No one has ever read
them. Half of them are like 86 pages long.
Probably half the people at the companies that issue them haven't read them. Their legal team has probably, you know, read them, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the free software movement, I mean, they still have these licensing agreements, too, but they're much less restrictive on what you can do with free software. So we're talking with that or with Carl about that. We're going to get back into that discussion here in moments. But speaking of good free software, check out Cell 411. Not only does it allow you to send out emergency alerts to your friends and family members when something's going wrong in your life, and as much as we'd prefer it not go wrong, sometimes things are going to go wrong. And so better if you can let your friends know rather than a bunch of strangers who may or may not kill you when they arrive on the scene, like the police. So you can use Cell 411 to decentralize emergency alerts. But now Cell 411, within the last few weeks, has added ride sharing. So it's now totally free market ride sharing, where drivers get to set their own rates and payment methods. So you get to decide what you charge people. But you're also in competition with the other drivers, which is something that Uber and Lyft does not allow drivers to do. In addition, riders get to pick their drivers. So when a rider sends out a request, they'll get multiple drivers can respond and say, yeah, I'm willing to give you a ride there. Well, you get to decide which of those drivers you choose. So it's a lot more choice available via Cell 411, and you can go and get your copy of it. It's free for Android users and for iPhone users. It's only for cell phones, by the way. So if you've got a tablet, it's probably not going to work for you. Go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com. Also, you can get it from your Google or Apple app stores, and it's totally free, so there's no reason not to download it and give it a try. Let's go back to Carl. He's listening in Alabama, talking about Linux, talking about the free software movement, and you're making the pitch here, Carl, and I don't think it's a bad thing to remind people that Linux exists, and it is usable, and it's free. To Microsoft's credit, they actually gave away Windows 10 to a lot of their users, which I was surprised to see them do. So maybe they're starting to feel, you know, the threat of the free software movement kind of breathing down their neck.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, different operating systems are pushing in on Microsoft with the introduction of Android and the iPad. You know, kids mm-hmm. coming up today, they don't really care what operating system they use, as long as they can get the job done, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I mean, I think that younger people are definitely more open to it, you know, but
sure.
Like you said, it does still have some negative connotations that, you know, some things are still true, like software compatibility, hardware compatibility. If you have, you know, some kind of weird hardware that you're trying to get to work, you could run into problems with Linux. And
yep, that's true.
Definitely, you know, trying to get Windows software to run on Linux, it's possible. But, I mean, even, you know, I've been using Linux for like 3 or 4 years, and it's, you know, like Photoshop is really not going to run super smooth on your Linux desktop. I mean,
one of the things you can do is you can do a dual boot system. You know, these days hard drives have plenty of space on them, so it is a technical thing that you'd have to set up or have somebody, you know, a little more geeky likely do it for you. But you can actually make it so when your computer boots up, you can choose your operating system. So if you wanted to get into Linux without really leaving Windows, it doesn't have to be an either or kind of thing. It can be a both thing where you can if you just want to do some web browsing or some basic word processing, you can load up Linux and do it in there, and then you're in a secure environment. Whereas if you need to use some sort of specific industry software like a Photoshop, you could have Windows as your dual boot and then boot into Windows and then use whatever you need to use that software for. So that is an option for people out there. They don't have to pick just one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the main reason that I continue to use Linux, basically, you know, almost every version out there is free for you to use. I mean, there are a few paid versions, but they're very rare. And Linux is very reliable. You know, it doesn't, like, my computer has been up for 6 months without having to reboot it. you know, sometimes, which I think you would find that very difficult to do with Windows.
With Windows, you know, if you are making a bunch of changes to the operating system, it'll get unstable. However, I can tell you that with Windows 7 and prior to that, Windows XP, I have had my server, my audio server running here, the thing that plays the, you know, basically creates LRN.FM, and I almost never add any new software to it, so it just sits there and it runs what it needs to run, and it'll run for 6 months straight, no problem, too. So it just depends. With Windows, if you're doing a bunch of different stuff with it, it's more likely to be unstable. It's more likely to have a hard drive fill up and, you know, that kind of thing, or just the Windows system, the registry gets cluttered, and it just slows things down. But if you have a Windows system where you only have a few programs on it and it's not getting, you know, regular use and web browsing and possible malware and things like that, then I found that it can be pretty stable. Carl, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate the discussion that we've had here tonight, and I'm sure some people probably took something, some new information away from it. So, Cody, are you ready to sign on with Linux after that discussion?
Probably not going to do that.
Why not?
I'm pretty content with what I've got, really. Yeah. You know,
that's their biggest. That's their biggest challenge.
Like you said, I think it's kind of geared towards computer guys, mm-hmm. which
it has been.
I am not a big, big computer guy. Like I went to college for computer stuff, mm-hmm. and I changed my major because I realized it really wasn't for me.
What did you end up getting the associate's in?
I ended up going for business. Initially, it was for computers, and I did take a class in Linux, and we ran Ubuntu, and, you know, a lot of this stuff sounds pretty familiar. I remember having to use the command prompt for a lot of stuff. And, you know...
And this was how many years ago? Six?
5 or 6 years ago, yeah. And, you know, if that was something I was really passionate about, if I was, like, a literal programmer, you know, I might find that interesting. But otherwise, I want to have a user interface where it's simple, easy, I know where things are. And, you know, I can just get the stuff done, you know? And another thing really is the programs. You know, I have some experience with GIMP, and I have a lot more experience with Photoshop, and Photoshop blows GIMP out of the water.
Out of the water.
Out of the water. It really does. And listen, if GIMP was better, I'd be all about GIMP. Right. You know what I mean? But until then, I'll just pirate Photoshop.
You probably should admit to that on the radio. Basically, I think you're pointing out the biggest challenge that Linux has these days. They've made it simpler. You know, things like Linux Mint and Ubuntu are easy to use for a newbie as far as the basics, as far as, you know, doing a web browse, doing a basic document process. They got that down. That's good. But the thing is, people don't want to learn new things. And so the biggest obstacle is, well, most people, unless they're brand new to computers, unless this is their first time using an operating system, have some level of experience with Windows or Macintosh, most likely.
Yep.
And so to try to tell someone, well, you ought to make the switch. Like, you know, it's like getting people to switch their coffee brand. I mean, but worse, right? Like, they like their experience that they like, and they don't want to try something new. So getting to persuade people to try something new like that, especially something that may prove more difficult, ultimately, even though the security is better, is just going to be a tough sell, which is why you don't see a bunch of people in droves going to adopt Linux. That's not to say it's a bad thing. It's not.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation.
Charlie Daniels, he's always loved America. He's always defended the Second Amendment.
Let me just read a little thing here from Agenda 21. The American system of justice must be changed to conform to the rest of the world. Individual rights will have to take a back seat to the collective. Well, you know what the next move's going to be, don't you? It's going to be coming after your gun.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, it ain't going to sit well down my way at all. It ain't going to sit well.
Do you ever wonder what happened to America?
It's time to ride, boys. We need 1,000 Paul Revere's.
When I was a boy, it was okay to be proud of the flag, heritage, mom, and apple pie. And beef was for supper. Revelation, Dawn of Global Government, theatrical screenings on demand, DVDs now available, starring Alex Jones, Charlie Daniels, Special Ops General Jerry Boykin. Want to shed some tears over the red, white, and blue? Revelation, the movie.info. Let's fix it.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Join us on the radio. Take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got Skype. It's Skype username lrn.fm. With you in studio, it's Ian,
Cody,
and Johnson.
Let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. Coming up, sororities and fraternities and hazing on the way. We've got Rusty, though, in Jasper, Texas. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Rusty.
Yeah, howdy, guys. I just wanted to kind of sing some more praises about Linux here. Don't know if y'all are aware, but Linux has a great marketability to kind of people who may not have a lot of money or ability in their means. They often get kind of hand-down computers that may not function properly. You can boot Linux right over that or install it, and it runs like new. These people often don't have any prior experience with computers, but they know how to get on Linux and use it. And
would
you
be just as well reformatting?
That's what he's talking about, is to format the machine and put Linux on it.
Yeah, but reformat with Windows.
But if you don't have any money, you know, I mean, the average person doesn't know how to go and download Windows. You probably do, Cody, but the average person who has no computer experience doesn't understand that. And
well, the average,
wouldn't want to do it either because they want to be legal, so they'll pay for Windows, but if they can't afford $150 or whatever the hell Windows costs these days.
Well, I wonder how many average people actually know about Linux existing.
Good question.
Well, I think here's a story. I used to work at a library, a public library, down in kind of like the Houston area, and we had a large population of people who were homeless or, you know, got secondary kind of hand-down equipment for Christmas or their birthday or whatever from a pawn shop, and either it wouldn't work or they didn't know how to use it. But if you got in there and you booted Linux over it, or you gave them like a they had a thumb drive and they wanted their own personal computer, you could just kind of put a live option in there and they could just do command line and kind of load it over the Windows that they're operating on. They have their own kind of personal PC, and they seemed to like it. They weren't aware of Linux being out there, but they really weren't aware too much about the difference between Windows and, you know, Macintosh operating system or Apple. They had no idea, but they use Linux, and they seem to like it. They took it like a duck to water, pretty
much. I agree with you. I think for somebody who's new to computing, I think Linux is at the point where with the graphical user interfaces they have, you can take someone who's new to computing and put them into a Linux environment, and they'll learn it. You know, they'll learn how to install the software because they've made that easy for the basic stuff that's out there. So I agree with you. I think especially on a computer where, you know, it may not be a brand new computer, Linux is going to run better than Windows is going to. It's just a more efficient operating system. So I think you're right about that. What I was commenting on was that, you know, people who have experience with other operating systems are going to be the hardest ones to pull away from it because that's what they know, and you're asking somebody to learn a whole new kind of environment, which is that's a lot to ask of somebody.
I would agree. I was hoping that Ubuntu would come out with their Ubuntu TV and Ubuntu tablet and all that, kind of have a whole ecosystem that seems like Apple and Google and Windows are all kind of shooting towards, where you can have basically an Apple home, a Windows home, maybe you might be able to have a Linux home, because I do think it's better. I think security is better. I think, you know, open source is the way to go. It's the future. All these companies seem to be going towards an annual kind of pay-per-year subscription service. I don't think that's a good deal to the user. But I'm hopeful that Ubuntu kind of comes out with some stuff, but they've been dragging their feet for so long, I think they're...
Well, that is one of the problems with open source. And you know, I'm glad we have open source. I have open source software. You know, I support the idea. But obviously one of the difficulties is they're not getting paid, or at least, you know, generally they're not. They do sometimes offer like support services for pay. So if you get free open source software, right, but you got problems with it and you can't find an answer on some internet forum, then you can hire a geek to pay you, or you pay the geek to, you know, give you the answers. So that's one way that they can monetize this open source software. But for the most part, you know, they don't have the profit incentive that an Adobe does. So maybe that's one of the reasons why GIMP, which is the editor for pictures on Linux, just isn't quite there compared to Photoshop, because they're not making money on it. They're programming it in their spare time.
I've been hopeful for SteamOS to pick up Steam.
Steam is a gaming platform.
Right, and they have a Linux-based operating system now for basically making your own multimedia center and gaming platform.
Yeah, I've heard about this. That, sort of a competitor to Xbox and PlayStation, where you can build your own
it would be a video game rig that could also be a full computer because it's a Linux-based, you know, operating system that runs on it.
Is that available now?
I believe so, yeah.
I feel like they put that out.
Yep, they have.
Rusty, any other thoughts you want to share? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, isn't Roku open source?
Roku?
I want to say so. Roku's open source.
I know that you can.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know if their software is open source, but I know that you can create channels for it. So at the very least, the platform is open source, meaning that Daryl actually created the LRN.FM channel. So if you have Roku, you can listen to us through LRN.FM over there. Hey, Rusty, thanks for your call tonight, man. I appreciate it. Toll free number. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that also the other thing that's, you know, makes this interesting for people who are a little bit computer aware, that there are things like, you know, VirtualBox and VMware and other virtualization programs that allow you to run a full operating system within a virtual machine, which means that you can run software on your computer that allows you to run a computer within your computer.
And so performance hit, of course.
Yeah, but it's actually not. It's fairly negligible these days. These virtual machines are very good.
Interesting.
And so you can run a full operating system within a virtual machine, and take a negligible performance hit and run the full OS in a separate environment.
That's one way to do it, or do a dual boot machine, right, and then you can choose at your boot up time. Let's continue. We got Paul in Arizona listening to K Talks. Go ahead, Paul. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, if I recall right, the FCC rules in the United States are a little different than they are in Japan, and they had this PlayStation thing a long time ago, and it was actually your whole home thing. It was everything. It was your satellite scrambler. It was your, except for FCC laws in the United States. They wouldn't let us have that.
So what you're saying is that you recall Sony had some sort of product that was more than just a video game system.
Way back. I'm talking about 2000. In the year 2000, it was a satellite scrambler. It was everything.
What I remember about the PlayStations is they were touting the PlayStations they were so powerful at the time that they could be used to, do missile guidance systems and all that stuff. Like doing that. Remember the articles?
The PlayStation X, I think they called it. Because we weren't allowed to have it, because in the United States, FCC, we can't have FCBs that go over, or you can't have a radio station that goes over 4 or 5 watts.
There's no doubt the FCC gets in the way of technological development in a big way. Paul, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. There's a story we read years ago about the development of cell phones that said that AT&T basically had applied to the FCC like in the 40s or something like that, or the 60s. I mean, it was a long time ago when they had the technology that they could have utilized for creating cell phones, but the FCC dragged its feet so long on approving it that it didn't come out until the 1980s. And I don't remember the exact years, but cell phones could have happened 2 decades sooner, basically, as I understand it. I mean, they would have been humongous, obviously, back in the day, but the technology had been presented to the FCC long before they actually made it to the consumer. So it does make you wonder what other kind of tech we're missing out on that we could have that the government is currently standing in the way of.
Right.
And the FCC has deemed itself the gatekeeper when it comes to electromagnetic spectrum and allocating it. And so we don't actually have a true free market or anything close to it in spectrum allocation. So we don't know how the market would actually allocate this different spectrum for different purposes. Instead, we've got the FCC that decides arbitrarily to go from analog television to digital television, and then they took the remaining of the analog TV space and they auctioned it to the highest bidder. It's Free Talk Live.
Every once in a while you get information that's worth changing your life for. This is one such time. You can save up to and beyond 25% on all purchases at Amazon. You probably heard of Bitcoin and just not thought much about it. You certainly know that you can get competitive pricing at Amazon, but now you can get a 25% discount on nearly everything you need to live. I've just given you a huge raise, and all you have to do is claim it. You go to saveitpurse.com and open an account. Do this right now. Don't wait. Then you fund the account with Bitcoin. You can buy them through expresscoin.com with a check or money order. There are other ways to get Bitcoin, but that's fast, safe, and easy. This information is worth you changing the way you do things. Go to saveitpurse.com right now, get signed up, and cash in on the huge raise I'm offering you. 15 to 25% off of everything at Amazon through saveitpurse.com. It's saveitpurse.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live, and you're invited here to join us on the radio wave. Bring up anything you want. Do that toll free at 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and you can Skype in at username lrn.fm. In fact, we're going to go to Skype here in a moment. I also want to let you know about a way that you can support Free Talk Live. It is the holiday shopping season. And, of course, it really kicks off in earnest after Thanksgiving. But, you know, all the Christmas decorations are out there in the various different department stores. But why bother going anywhere to get your shopping done? You can just do it from shop.freetalklive.com, which is our sort of launching pad into Amazon. There's some links there to Walmart as well. But most people go into Amazon. You got Amazon UK, Amazon Canada, and Amazon US. You just select the right Amazon for you. And Free Talk Live gets a cut of your purchase. You're probably going to do some online shopping anyway. Why not just get it done right now? Or as the season rolls on, of course, they're likely going to have some cool Black Friday specials or Cyber Monday, as they call it. Whatever the specials are, you can help Free Talk Live anytime by going to shop.freetalklive.com. Get the same great prices, the same great selection and service. It's just that Free Talk Live gets a cut of Amazon's profits when you start through shop.freetalklive.com. We go to the phones, to the fun. We got Parker. He's on the line in Washington State via Skype. Go ahead, Parker. You're on with Ian, Cody, and Johnson.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Parker. Go ahead.
So the election was last week. Wow.
That's right.
Feels like an eternity.
Seven old days. The world has not blown up yet. How about that?
Well, I was thinking a little bit about where you guys stand on voting versus Larkin Rose versus a guy that I listen to. He has his own podcast. It's called the Cynical Libertarian Society.
Huh.
And you guys should totally run his podcast on LRN.fm if you like his stuff.
Feel free to email me a link to it. When I get a chance, I'll check it out. Sometimes it takes me a month to get around to auditioning new shows, but I will check it out if you email it to me. Before you go on, I don't know what all those people's viewpoints are. I mean, I suspect Larkin Rose is against voting, but Cody, you're not a voter. Even within the studio, I don't think we all necessarily agree on voting. Johnson, I believe you do vote.
I do, yeah.
I do vote as well. But go ahead, Parker.
Well, Larkin Rose makes the position that voting is violence, or at the very least, and he may disagree with me on this a little bit, or he or I basically say that voting is the advocation of someone else to enact violence on one's behalf.
What's absurd. I mean, it's a position that presumes that he knows what people are thinking. And while there may be some people who are voting to enact their viewpoints violently on others, there are others who are voting because they want to stop violence or they want to reduce violence. There are people who are... Okay, go ahead.
Well, and to a certain degree, I would agree with that, because if you're voting against taxation or voting against a raise in taxes or whatever, you are voting defensively, which is where... where this podcaster comes in and he says, yes, voting is essentially violence, but because we are libertarians and we live by the non-aggression principle, just because someone enacts violence against us doesn't mean that we're just going to stand around and take it. We're going to use the vote in self-defense.
Okay, I see that. I still don't agree with the premise that voting is violence. There's nothing violent about going and checking a box, punching a Chad.
It may potentially be the endorsement of a violent person.
If that's what you're doing, then you
could... But directly, no. Yeah. There's nothing violent inherently about voting.
You could extrapolate from someone's vote that they may have indeed voted for that person because they want to go to war or something like that. You could extrapolate that. But in a lot of people's cases, that's not the reason why they vote. But it's an interesting point that he's making, or an interesting spin, saying, well, even if you accept that voting is violence, he's saying it can be used as defensive violence, so therefore it is legit to do that.
Right, and I'm not saying that it's direct violence. I'm saying it's indirect, or it's somehow in some way an advocation.
It's not necessarily those things. For a libertarian who's voting, it's none of those things.
Right.
No, I'm a voluntarist. I'm voting for people who are actual libertarians most of the time. Sometimes I will vote for the lesser of evils in local races, but that's not because I endorse what the evil is doing. That's because I see them as the least violent option, or as the least oppressive option, and I want to reduce oppression. So voting is just a tool. Voting is just a method to manipulate, to have some level of influence over what is inherently a violent system. It's the system that is violence. Voting itself is not. Can vote. You can vote for someone in a private organization. Voting doesn't necessarily just happen in the government, right? So if you're at a private group, let's say the Libertarian Party is an example of this, or a corporation, or whatever. A community group.
But the difference is, you can decide not to be a part of the company.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm talking about. It's the organization that's violent. The government is the violent part. The fact that they have this voting game is not necessarily an endorsement of violence or in any way an accessory to it.
I think it, to a degree, depends on the way you go about it. I think for a lot of normal people, I do see it as an endorsement of the status quo, of the system, of the way things are run, for somebody inside of this type of movement, they can make their own justifications on voting.
Now, why are you against it?
Makes sense.
You don't believe it's violence necessarily, so that's not your reason.
I think for the most part, it's a massive waste of my time.
Okay.
And another thing, too, that is big into changing my opinion on it is a George Carlin bit, where he basically calls out all of the people that say that, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. Well,
yeah, that's garbage.
You're the one who picked these people. So if I don't vote, then I have every right to complain because I didn't take part in the participation of choosing slave masters.
Yeah, anybody who says if you don't vote, you have no right to complain is just somebody who is not interested in having a conversation, and they're just blowing you off based on the fact that you're not at their level or you're not, you know, in their little political club. I don't agree with you that it's a waste of time, Cody. I think that if you, you know, if you don't have anyone worth voting for, then yeah, it's a waste of time. But if you've actually got a voluntarist or a true libertarian who's running for office, in a place like New Hampshire, your one vote could really make the difference. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened where people have lost elections by one vote.
So I will say, if I were still living in Maine at the time, I would have voted to legalize marijuana.
And I think you mean this year?
This year.
Yeah.
I probably would have left everything else blank, but there will be those some issues that come up where I'll want to participate.
So there could be something that would motivate you. If something came on the ballot, you know, you would, you ruled out voting based on a principle. It's just that.
Yeah, I'm not taking a hardline position on it. I just think that as an activist, I'm going to be way better off, you know, just doing my two radio shows. And, you know, I feel happy with that. You know, I feel like I don't really have to vote to feel like I'm being a good American or whatever it is that they tell you. I'm pretty happy doing my civic duty, if that's what you want to call it, by doing radio twice a week.
Okay. Parker?
I think that a good way of looking at it, based on what you're saying, is that you could equate votes with guns. Votes, or guns are not inherently bad, just as how votes are not necessarily inherently bad.
Okay.
It's how you use the votes. For instance, you could vote to either raise taxes or lower taxes. If you are voting to raise taxes, you are inherently, by voting for raising taxes, you are enacting or endorsing or advocating the violence, that violence be done against other people on your behalf.
That's correct.
Whereas if you are voting to lower taxes, you are advocating that people's rights not be violated.
Correct. I'd say you nailed it, Parker. Anything else you want to share on the topic?
Not anything that's directly related to the issue of voting. But
very good.
Based on where we are at right now with like all these protests or riots with Hillary Clinton supporters, I think that this is a really good opportunity to sort of try and draw them into the libertarian movement.
I don't know so much about that, but thank you for the call tonight.
Those people? I don't know if I do.
You know, if people being frustrated with the system, I would say it's a better time to talk to them about secession.
They throw a temper tantrum every time they get a president they don't want.
If there were a group like this protesting in Keene, I would go out with secessionist flyers and I'd hit every single one of them with it. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. Hour 3 coming up.
You want disruption? You got disruption. Cell 411, the world's most disruptive and empowering app, knows you want ride sharing with payment options for cash, Bitcoin, silver and barter, as well as credit cards. And they know you want more than promises. Cell 411 delivers. The same great emergency management app, now with ride sharing. Freedom to travel is a right. You don't need big business telling you how to do it and taking fees. Go to the App Store now and download Cell 411 and get riding.
If you had one day to teach someone economics, what would you say? We would say that innovation and prosperity requires economic freedom. Visit fee.org/courses and check out Economics in One Day, a crash course in free market economics that you can present to your community. For over 70 years, the Foundation for Economic Education has been a champion of liberty. Start today at no charge by visiting fee.org/courses and learn why economic freedom matters.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.